Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. Time to talk travel today. We'll welcome back Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center in Latham, New York. Number to call if you have a travel question is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org is the way you can email us, and the number is 800-348-2551. Jean is a popular guest. She just flew back from Croatia, and boy, are her arms tired. There you go. There's the comedy you only can get in public radio. More great stuff on the way after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We are joined today by our friend Gene Gagnon, a certified travel counselor. Gene is the president of Plaza Travel Center, a woman-owned business since 1969. The Institute of Certified Travel Agents awarded her the designation of Certified Travel Counselor in 1985. She was an adjunct instructor of travel and tourism at University College of Syracuse University and Schenectady County Community College. At Plaza Travel, Jean specializes in VIP travel, custom planning, international itineraries, and group travel. You got a question about travel? All right, give us a call, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is our number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Gene Gagnon, how are you?
I'm great, Ray. How are you?
It's hot out.
It is.
Is it cool enough in here?
Yes, it's perfect.
All right, fine. I feel that it's not cool enough in here, so that was the wrong answer.
Well, I always tend to wear something on top because you tend to keep it cool.
I try to. It's not cool enough for me, but it's fine. As long as you're happy, I'm happy. It's great to have you here. How was Croatia?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah?
I mean, I knew it was going to be great.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone there. But it was even better than I thought it was going to be. In a way, it was kind of like Italy light because it had a lot of the same things that Italy had, only it was like half the price. Like a gelato in Italy is €4. In Croatia, it was €2.
Wow.
I had a pasta dish with mussels, clams, and shrimp that was like €13. It was
okay,
crazy.
Not for nothing. You get a pasta dish in Italy. It's a pasta dish in Italy. How's the pasta in Croatia?
Well, this is the thing. If you look at a map and you look at the north part of Croatia, it's very close to Italy. As a matter of fact, when it was the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the border went back and forth a lot. So the pasta up north was superb.
Yeah.
Homemade. Excellent.
Okay.
And then when you were in the south, you were along the Adriatic, so the seafood was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Great local wines, wonderful people, incredibly clean.
Yeah.
Very, very clean. And we were also in Slovenia, which is a very, very green country as far as the environment goes.
Right.
And they just had, it was actually hard to find a trash can because people bring their trash home.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It was immaculate.
It's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yes, it really is.
They have a clean country and they don't have any trash cans.
Yeah, it was kind of bizarre.
We have plenty of trash cans here. And
it's filthy.
There are times where it's not quite as neat as it could be.
But it was wonderful. People were wonderful, learned a lot about their history and the problems they had in 91, 92, the whole breakup of Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. It was great.
Well, that's fantastic. And was this for fun or was this a group tour?
No. It's a group tour. Every 6 months or so, I put out there that I'm going to go somewhere and people can join me.
Yeah.
And this one was only 16 people, so it was really nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
And how was the flight?
The flight was actually excellent.
Yeah. Did you see that thing in the news, that terrible news about the Singapore Air and the guy who got killed in the turbulence?
Right. Well, I actually wanted to talk about that.
Okay.
Because first of all, they have found out that he had a heart attack, which is unfortunate, but not directly related to, you know, a head injury or something. However, this is what I want to tell people. Whenever you fly, your seatbelt should be on. Whether the seatbelt sign is on or not.
So you never take it off when you fly?
I never take it off. Even if I've got four seats and I can lay on my side and lay down, I make the seatbelt even bigger and put that on me.
Hang on. Stop. We'll get back to this. You can have four seats and you can lay down in a plane? When did this happen?
Well, first of all, Okay, the best place to sit is in the back of the plane.
Yeah.
Number one, it's the safest. Number two, if there are going to be any empty seats, that's where they're going to be. You don't want to be in the last row because the back of your seat might not go back all the way. But second to last, third to last.
All right, it's the safest. But if you nose into the ground from 20,000 feet,
yeah, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter. But think of it this way. You might have empty seats around you. So I've actually flown where I was in that center section where there were four seats, and I was the only one in that section.
Neat.
So you can push up the handrests, and you can lay down. But even if I'm laying down, I expand the seatbelt a little, and I keep my seatbelt on.
You know, I had this question, and by the way, we're talking travel today with Gene Gagnon. The number is 800-348-2551 if you have a question. 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. I have had some well-to-do guests over the years, and they tell me that if you fly certain, like first class or business class, deluxe, or whatever, they have a bunch of different tiers for these things. Mm-hmm. You basically got a bedroom. How do you strap in if there's turbulence? Are you strapped in the bed like you're in a hospital?
Yeah, loosely. I mean, it doesn't have to be super snug, but yeah.
Wow.
And if I go to the ladies' room or if I want to walk to stretch my legs, I do it. I do it quickly. I get back in my seat and I buckle your seatbelt. Because the way you've got to think of it, I try to explain to people that turbulence is, of course, an air pocket. So if you were driving, you can hit a pothole. Which is kind of the same thing. It's like where your car goes in.
Yeah,
you know?
If you're driving all Albany, it's a good bet.
And you can get in a car accident from that. So think about it. You know what I mean? So you do want to always have your seatbelt on. Now, they have a seatbelt sign that they put on and off only because there are times when they insist you have it on.
Yeah.
But you could hit turbulence at any time. It's called clear air turbulence. You don't always know it's coming. Happens once every like 10 years or something. You know, it's not something that happens often, but I always keep my seatbelt on. It's also the reason why I don't like when people travel with a baby on their lap.
Yeah, I
understand. Even though it's free, they're holding that baby, and if they hit turbulence, there's no way they can hold on.
One of the flight experiences that I will never forget, I was flying back from Jacksonville, and I think the first stop was Atlanta, maybe, and they said, oh, we're going to be delayed for a few hours. Some bad weather up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we sat in the terminal, and it was boring, and I didn't like it, and I grumbled. Got on the plane, and we headed north, and they said, we're going to have to veer west and take you in to Albany via Syracuse. We're going to go make a big left turn, or a big right turn. And the pilot said, have I told you this?
No.
The pilot said, We're past Syracuse, and I'm a terrible flyer, okay? Attention, passengers. On to your left, you'll see some thunderstorm activity. Waits a beat. On your right of the plane, you'll see some thunderstorm activity. So I'm already, you know, just grabbing the... So the stewardess sees me. It says, it's going to be fine. Are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. As she says this, we hit turbulence. She goes flying, thankfully, into an empty seat.
Right.
And I looked out, I turned over, I said, we still going to be okay? It was not the right thing to do, but that's the way I roll.
But it can happen. I mean, you can hit bumps in the road when you're driving. You know, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So just keep your seatbelt on.
Fair enough. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Let's do a couple of emails before the people are looking at me funny from other studios, but that happens a lot. A couple of emails before we move on. Liz writes, we want to take a river cruise from Budapest to Germany with a possible side trip to Prague. Viking is well-rated, but on the pricey side, what are alternative companies that offer a similar service?
Okay. There are several. Okay. I would say on the top tier are Viking, AMA, Uniworld. Those are all top cruises.
Yeah.
On the lower end, you could probably look at Emerald, Avalon. You know, there are other options as well. It depends upon your budget and what you want to get out of it. Do you always want to have unlimited wine and beer at lunch and dinner? Well, then there you go. Do you want to have all of your shore excursions, which means when you get into a port, they take you off and do something with you? Do you want to have a free one in every port, or do you want to have to pick and choose and pay yourself? So there's pros and cons to both, but there's definitely one for every budget. Now, the thing of it is, I love river cruises. They are lovely because you do get to see a lot of different places at once. You only have to pack and unpack once. There's pros and cons, though, because you're also not usually wandering around this beautiful old town after dinner.
Right.
You're back on the ship.
Yeah.
And yes, the ship will do local cuisine and things like that. But to me, if I had the choice, since I can still walk really well and I don't have any kind of mobility issues, personally, I would rather be in that city for two or three nights and really see it,
right?
You know, and feel like I've really been there.
But you've done these river cruises.
Yes,
they
I've
look phenomenal on TV.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful. Yes, there's nothing wrong with them. And some of them you really have to do. Like if you go to Egypt, the best way to see anything outside of Cairo is to be on a river cruise up and down the Nile. So there are certain places where they're really fantastic.
All right, let's take a quick break. We have more emails to go here, but we will break and then we will do emails and the phones. You got a question for Gene Gagnon? Give us a call. 800-348-2551 is our number. We'll be right back. Charlie Musselwhite doing Lennon McCartney, Dear Prudence. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Travel Today with Gene Gagnon on this edition of Vox Pop. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Let's do a couple of more emails here. This one is from Betty. I'm going to London next month and plan to obtain from my bank some pounds for when I get there. I believe there are money exchanges at Heathrow Airport. My question is, how much of a difference in cost is it to change dollars for pounds here versus changing dollars when I get there? And that's from Betty.
Hi, Betty. Your best bet is always, always, always to try to get the local currency in that country of origin. But then again, if you're only getting, you know, 300 or 400, you know, pounds, you know, maybe talking a difference of $5 or $10.
Right.
So you never really know. You have to sort of check what the exchange rate is. What I do is I have never, ever, ever gone into a country with the money, with the local currency. I always get it at an ATM.
No.
Because I use an ATM.
Yeah.
So I get a, you know, 2 or 3 days worth, because the idea is you don't want to be walking around with a lot of money. That's why we used to listen to Carl Malden and use traveler checks.
Oh, remember those?
Yeah.
I remember American Express traveler's checks.
But they don't have them anymore. But the same idea is you don't want to be walking around with a lot of cash.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get, you know, $800 here and be walking around with it, you know, $800 worth of pounds. So this way I do it when I get there. Sometimes the airport is not as good a rate as a real ATM at a bank, but they're ubiquitous now. I mean, everywhere you turn around, there are ATMs.
So the exchange rate is going to fluctuate depending on the ATM?
No, depending upon the country of origin. So if you buy them here, the exchange rate will not be as good as if you buy them in that country of origin.
Right. Now, and Jean just takes her regular ATM card.
Yes.
Puts it in wherever.
Yep, you know, KeyBank, CEFQ, Broadview, you know, whoever you've got, okay? You just make sure that they know that you're traveling. You also want to check what your daily limit is, because some people on an ATM only have a $200 or $300 limit. You might want to up that. Know what your PIN card is and make sure you know it by numbers. Because I got stuck once where I have a word that's my PIN number.
Oh, really? What is it?
Yeah, right. So I go up to the ATM, and there were no letters on the numbers. And I'm like,
Well, that's tricky. So you have to get a little
get
rubric.
My right.
Okay.
But anyway, so yes, there is a fee. Okay, so my bank might charge $4 per ATM transaction. But other than that, they don't charge a percentage.
Even if you're in Croatia. That's amazing. I did
yeah.
not know that. It's a small world after all.
Yes, it is.
All right, this is from Andrew. What kind of paperwork is needed to travel abroad with my child under, a child under age 5. Is there anything else needed other than a passport? Do you have advice on toddler-friendly destinations?
Well,
Chuck E. Cheese. There you go.
No. First of all, yes, of course, the child has to have a passport. If you're traveling with the child alone, you have to have a notarized letter from the other parent. If the other parent has passed away, you need a copy of the death certificate. Even if you have, let's say you're divorced and you have custody of your child,
yeah,
you still have to have a notarized letter from the child's parent. And that is because, you know, trying to prevent people, you know, leaving the country with children.
Right.
So you do need to have that. But if both you and the mother or whatever are traveling, then it's not an issue. Toddler friendly. Well, this is what I've always said. A kid will fall asleep in a stroller, whether they are at Disney World or they're in the Louvre. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
Okay. But personally, I think any destination can be toddler friendly. It's just what you do when you get there. You know, again, if you're going to be walking around a museum in London, do it after they've eaten and they'll take a nap in their stroller. Even a kid 5 years old, I bring one of those little umbrella strollers. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You want them to be able to relax. And then just make sure that there's someplace they can run around. Take them to a park, a local park. I mean, you could be at Speaker's Corners in Hyde Park in London, and the kid could be running around just
right.
as well as he could be running around at a park in Florida.
Just don't have them run around at the Louvre.
No. That's why I say stroller. Kids have to... I'm sorry, but my personal take, and I'm sure I'm going to get calls or angry emails
here
from parents, is don't take them out of the stroller. I don't care.
Keep
you
them
know?
Chained up.
Yes, because once you do, they don't want to go back.
Ah, mother you know? Of the year. Well
yeah.
done.
No. But wait until you get outside and then let them run.
I see what you're saying. Well, 800-348-2551 if you want to complain to Gene Gagnon. 800-348-2551. I will say this. If and as a parent of several... You know, when they're toddlers, you're going to be pretty shot personally. You're going to be tired from keeping up with them if they're walking around.
Oh, yes.
And so you're not going to get the most out of your vacation. Honestly, you'll be exhausted for half the time.
Yes. I think infants are sometimes easier to travel with than toddlers.
Right.
You know, and then once they get 6 or 7, then they're fine again. But yeah, toddler
oh, really?
Is tough. Well.
Really? Okay.
Mine were, Ray.
Let's have a chat. I didn't realize. This is from Meg. And by the way, the number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Travel today with Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center. Meg writes, I'm in my 70s. I'm planning a trip to Croatia next May to visit relatives. What do you recommend to physically get in shape for this two-week sightseeing European trip?
Walk, and then walk some more. Try walking up and down stairs. Before I go, I have there's only 2 floors in my office, but I try to 2 or 3 times a day see if I can do 100, you know, 20 up, 20 down, 20 up, 20 down, 20 up, 20 down. There's a lot of steps and a lot of, you know, like in Dubrovnik, if you want to walk the walls. I thought you were just going to climb up to the walls and then walk around the tops of the walls. Well, even once you're on the walls, there's stairs going up, stairs going down, uneven steps. Walking and climbing stairs would be the best thing you could do.
You know, the pyramids in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been?
Yes, I have.
They look like there are a lot of steps on those.
Yes, there are.
How many steps?
I have no idea.
No,
a lot.
Have you been to the pyramids in Egypt?
Yes, I have.
Have you been inside?
I did not elect to go inside because there's not a lot to see inside. You have to crouch down to get in through the thing.
Yeah.
The thing that you want to really see the insides is when you go to the Valley of the Kings.
Yep.
And there you want to go in those tombs. Those are really neat.
That is amazing. Yeah. Gene Gagnon is our guest. It's Travel Today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. This one's from Mike in Saratoga. He wrote us at voxpop@wamc.org. I'm wondering, for an 8-day excursion to Norway, flying into Oslo in early summer, should we stay in Norway or work in some stops, Sweden? Any suggestions would be appreciated.
Well, I wouldn't try to do too many countries in only 8 days. I would maybe concentrate on Norway. I mean, you can go to Flam, which is up in the mountains. You can go to a couple of the fjords along the coast, I would just concentrate on Norway. Because what you have to remember is when you travel, everything about travel is time and money.
Yeah.
If you had unlimited of each, you know, you'd be my favorite client. But most people don't, okay? So every time you move somewhere, you're taking up time. And because you're traveling, you're taking up money. So the more regionally that you travel, like you'd get more bang out of your buck, for example, if you went to London and Liverpool and Scotland into either Glasgow or Edinburgh than you would if you went London, Paris, Rome, because every time you move, you know, you're taking that time to move and you're paying to get to another destination. So the way I like to explain it to people, if somebody was coming to the U.S. for only 8 days, a great combo would be, for example, Boston, New York, Washington. You know, they would see different cities, maybe do the countryside in between, you know, but you can't, it would be hard and more expensive to do New York, New Orleans, and San Francisco, because you're traveling more and it's taking more time.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I think that there is so much to see in this country, and a lot of it I will never see. Gene Gagnon, travel certified travel counselor. What is your favorite spot in the lower 48 to go to travel, whether you're taking a group or just going on your own?
That's really very difficult because there are the cultural and exciting cities, which my favorite are in the Northeast. I love Washington, D.C. I think Washington, D.C. is fabulous. Museums are free. Kids love it. There are some great kids' museums. There's history, the monuments. But I have to say, as far as sights and beauty, you're talking about the national parks out west.
Yeah.
You know, Glacier National Park is phenomenal. I mean, they're all beautiful. But, you know, if somebody had never been out there, you know, to do Yellowstone and then the Grand Tetons and then end at Glacier National would be phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, they're really, really beautiful. And the Southwest parks, you know, Bryce, Zion, the Grand Canyon, they're just so breathtaking and majestic.
Have you done the whole Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I have not hiked it. Nor have I taken the mule up and down.
Oh, you haven't ridden a mule?
I'm not there.
You should do mule tours.
You could really cut the overhead.
You have a jackass at home. All right. Well, I hope your husband's not listening, but I can clearly see that's a shot. Jean Gagnon is our guest, and she's really in top gear today. 800-348-2551 is the number. Oh, boy. You're going to get it.
I know I am.
Voxpop@wamc.org is the email address. This one's from Joe. My wife and I are going to Florence and Venice with our 18-year-old twins. Anything we should be sure to do at sea? Ditch
yes.
the twins. That's the first thing you got to do.
Well, I wish I knew how long they were going. But for example, in Florence, of course, you've got to see David, which you should book ahead of time because it's difficult to get in. You should also definitely try to do. There's a fantastic day trip from Florence that hits Siena, San Gimignano, Pisa, which is cool to see. Kids love seeing.
Yeah, what with the tower and
exactly,
everything.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't waste your time going up, but you got to see it.
You can still go up?
Yeah.
It's at a 22-degree angle.
You can still go up.
I'm not going up there.
Well, I didn't say that you could
then
go
again,
up.
travel to me is Rensselaer, so I'm not going there.
But there's a great day trip that does that. Plus, it stops at a winery, and you have a beautiful Tuscan lunch. So I highly, highly recommend that. In Venice, of course, you have to do a gondola ride, which is lovely. But there's ways to do it. Google best way to do a gondola ride to get all that information, or shoot me an email or something. The other thing in Venice is you can take a ferry to other islands. You can go to the island of Murano to see the glass works. And if kids haven't ever seen that, they like that blowing the glass.
Yep.
And then there's another little island, which is actually my favorite, called Burano, which is where they make lace and all the little towns, all the little cities, not the cities, Gene. All the little houses, thank you very much, are different colors. It's beautiful. And you can just take the ferry there and back.
Okay.
So highly, highly recommend that as well.
All right. By the way, Joe wrote another different Joe, mm-hmm. I think. I think so. Wrote in, very important. In Italy, do not use Euronet ATMs. They charge a ton. Use a bank ATM.
Always use a bank ATM. And actually, if you went back and listened, you would see I did say
did
a
you?
Bank ATM. Yes,
well,
I did.
Well, Joe, I'm with you. I didn't hear her say it. But you know what?
I'm going to listen to it tomorrow.
You're
now,
probably
you know,
right.
And send you an email.
You know how complicated this show is? It's like air traffic control. I'm always looking into Zach, the engineer.
But yes, definitely a bank ATM. And you'll be able to tell it's a bank building and there's an ATM.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to use the ones like in
the airport.
Or the grocery store or something like that. Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. We'll get to the phone. We have some more emails, but let's get to the phones here. Abby and Pelham's been waiting. Abby, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for being there.
You bet.
I had a question about seeing the Northern Lights. I'm 75. It's on my bucket list of things to do. I'm leaning more towards Alaska rather than Iceland or somewhere in Europe. Or maybe Canada, but what is the best way to go?
This is the thing. Alaska has a very short tourist season. Their tourist season is mainly from middle of May to the very beginning of September. It gets very cold after that. And there's just not a lot of facilities that are open year-round. Whereas in Norway or Iceland, there are more facilities that are open year-round. And if you really want to see the best Northern Lights, you want to do it during the darkest part of the year. So, you know.
Yeah.
Not winter.
I mean, sometimes you can see them. There have been Northern Lights within the last couple of weeks in Scandinavia. But the best place is in Trondheim, which is the northern part of Norway. Right. And they actually have quite a bit. Like, they'll actually ring your hotel room if you tell them you want to know, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they'll take you out, you know, things like that. So you'd really, really get to see quite a bit of them. Then my second choice would definitely be Iceland, because there's so many other things to do. To go up north in Alaska during the winter, there's not going to be a lot going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas at least in Reykjavik, you've got the hot springs, you've got a couple of museums, you can still go see waterfalls, even though it's the winter, you know, so a lot of neat things to do there.
All right.
So can you see those lights any time of year, though? I think.
No, you're actually better off when it's darker. I mean, when it's light, you know, 18 hours out of every day, you don't see them as well.
What months are best?
November,
really depends
December.
On the sun,
yeah,
right?
I would recommend more towards the winter, November, December, January, February.
But isn't that counterintuitive? I mean, isn't the sun always up as the further up
Yes, but the lighter it is out, they're not as vivid.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, Abby, I want personally to go to Alaska, and so I'm going to interrogate Gene about Alaska now, and I'll take it from here. Thank you for the call. All right. You've been to Alaska?
Yes.
All right. Tell me how far north you've gotten, and is there any place where you can go that's really far up that you won't die of frostbite and or be killed by a grizzly bear?
You can go to the Arctic Circle.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you take a plane up there. You can go there from Fairbanks.
But do you have to live in a tent or anything?
You just go there for the day. You meet a local town. You have lunch up there. Most people go there from the day for a day trip from Fairbanks. But it's expensive because you have to fly.
Yeah.
And they don't have, you know.
Isn't all travel expensive?
It's relative.
What does that mean?
It's relative. Expensive. The word expensive is relative.
Well, is it more than $50?
It's more than
then
50
Then it's
bucks.
Expensive.
Then I guess you're still going to hang out in Rensselaer.
I like it there. It's historic, and Dolores is in the Hudson Valley. Dolores, how are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is a decision. You know, I like to travel in July, and I've been re-invited to go to Amsterdam. I was there this January and had a great time, but it's a busy city.
Very busy.
And so, you know, this August and this July, there's the Olympics in France. So, you know, I'm wondering, do I go to Amsterdam or should I go to the Pacific Northwest?
Personally?
You know, because I just don't want to deal with a lot of crowds.
Then
don't
go to Europe in July and August. Not only is it always crowded, post-pandemic, it's overcrowded.
Really?
So if you can avoid July and August, I definitely would. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I would. It's crazy crowded. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's take Oh, my gosh. Hi, Jen. I hit the wrong button. And I know that you're next on our list, but I have to take a break or Zach the engineer is going to yell at me. Can I put you on hold for a minute?
Sure, sure.
All right. Stand by. Sorry, Zach. I don't know what's happening here. 800-348-2551. I think it's time to retire. Yeah? Okay, Zach says yes. All right, Gene will take care of the show from here on out. Keys here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. It's travel today. And where we last left you, Jen in Beacon was on the air briefly and is now back on the air. Hello, Jen.
Hi, hi. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
All right. I have a question. I didn't get your memo about not going to Europe in July and August. So we planned a trip the first 2 weeks of July to go to Greece, and we'll be spending a week in Hydra on an island, which I'm so excited about, and that'll be the beachy chill section of our trip. And mm-hmm. then I'm finding it hard to figure out what other places we should go to. I have two 10-year-olds in tow, and I just wanted to know what must see places.
Well, Jen,
otherwise
are
that
you
we
gonna,
should go to.
Okay, Jen, are you going to be in Athens at all?
Yes, that's where we fly in and out of.
Perfect, perfect. Mm-hmm. If you're in Athens, at least for one night, hopefully two, you definitely want to bring them mm-hmm. to the Parthenon and see the Acropolis. They'll enjoy running up there mm-hmm. and running around. You want to bring them through the Plaka and see all the crazy like shops and rugs and everything that people are trying to sell you. You know, you want them to mm-hmm. see that as well. From mm-hmm. Hydra, you should check and see whether there's a lot of nice tours that would be good with kids, like kayaking tours, boat tours, visiting mm-hmm. caves, you know, from the water,
yeah.
you know, so look up all of those. Those are a lot of fun for kids
Great.
That age. A food walking tour, which you wouldn't think mm-hmm. of kids right away, but it's kind of fun because they do like trying different things when somebody else is offering it and when they're in a foreign country.
That's funny.
You know what I mean?
Psychology.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
the psychology, yeah. And you're walking around and they give you a little piece of baklava, and then you go to the next place and you have something else. You go to the next place and have something else. So, and they're walking, so they're burning some energy. So those are usually a pretty good thing to see as well. You can also do
Perfect.
Biking tours.
Biking tours?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. They'll give you the helmet. They get you the bike, and you go off with that. So that's a lot of fun, too. I think I'm trying to remember if I saw some scooter tours in Athens as well, where you sit on the back of a scooter with a driver. You know, so that's a lot of fun. They really love that as well. I think that's off the top of my head, but there's a lot of things to see and do there. You're really going to love it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling and holding.
How's the food in Greece?
I loved it. A lot of fresh fish, a lot of roasted potatoes, grilled vegetables, of course, Greek salads, you know, the feta cheese and the olives. Olives are fabulous.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing to do for a lunch in Greece is to go to a cafe and order bread and tzatziki. And tzatziki is, yogurt and fresh olive oil and lemon. And then you get a couple of beers with that, and that's all you're doing is dipping this fresh bread in the tzatziki. Oh man, it's good.
Well, that's good. I presume you bring Alka-Seltzer with you.
Oh, well, you don't
a couple
really
of beers
need
and
yeah,
well, tzatziki, you know.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's go to Williamsburg, Massachusetts. Charles, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Dzień dobry, pani Gagnon.
What was that?
Dzień dobry, pani Gagnon.
Oh, Oh, dzień dobry.
What's going on? Have I lost
się mas.
Jak się mas. Dobrze.
How did you know I was Polish?
I listen to the program occasionally, and you mentioned it a couple
of
times.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even know that, and I host the show. That's amazing.
Well, Charles, you're going to England and Wales, so you want to know about the train service?
Yeah, we've been to England before driving all the time. I've driven in England, Ireland, and Scotland. We're going to be spending 5 days in London and then going to Salisbury, Portsmouth, and Canterbury to do some genealogical research. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering about, we plan to take trains in that part of the country.
Yeah, you can do it. You might have to change a couple of times, you know, once or twice because, you know, you might be going off the direct routes. But I've had people take the train from London to Cardiff or other places in Wales. So you can definitely do it. And if for some reason wherever you're going isn't serviced by that, you can also look into their bus system. They have a very, very good bus system. You can actually make reservations on them online. So I would definitely recommend that.
That's a good idea. And, and we're in Wales, we're going to the southern Wales, Pembrokeshire. Have you ever been there?
I have not been there. I've been to, you know, Snowdonia National Park up there. Uh-huh. But no, I haven't. Uh-huh. But it's supposed to be beautiful, so I'm sure you'll have a great time.
Yeah. And finally, I'd like to echo your comments about seeing the USA first and the national parks in particular. We've been to 35 parks, and of course there are 63, so we have a long way to go. But I would recommend anybody seeing America first and going to the parks.
I love
Well, I have to tell you this, though. I do, and I'll probably get some angry phone calls on this, too, so please don't call. I know you're angry.
800-348-2551 is that number.
But in some respects, I almost recommend people do other bucket lists first because it's harder. So, for example, let's say somebody has always wanted to go to Africa. Do it when you're young enough to take that long flight, you know, or to go to Machu Picchu. You can always drive or take a bus tour within the United States.
You only have so many trips in you, though, unless you're a travel agent.
Well, I'm saying if you have a real bucket list that is international or alternate, do an international, then do a domestic. Yeah. Just because it's harder the older you get to do the big trips.
Tell me
about
it.
So that's all. But Charles, thank you so much.
You're realizing it now?
Charles, dziękuję.
All right, Charles. Thank you.
Now that I'm 74. Dziękuję bardzo.
Hang in there, man. Appreciate it. And thanks for the call. And 800-348-2551 if you would like to call. So you were speaking Polish just now.
Yes, I was.
Thought I was having an episode there. I can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, one of the romance languages.
Linda's in Shelburne Falls. Linda.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm traveling with a group to Verbier in Switzerland in August. Sorry, but at least it's a cool place. Most of the group is going to be mountain biking around Mont Blanc. I don't bike. I do photography. I'd love to be able to photograph wildlife, but what can I do if I'm not out on a bike?
Well, you know, there's just walking around the village town. I don't know what they call themselves exactly, but you can also take day trips either on cable cars or on funiculars. You know, you can get there. You can do it, and the photography would be excellent doing that. But even walking around, observing the normal everyday life of the Swiss is enjoyable.
Yeah, you can watch them make the cheese.
Well, that's
so
one
this
thing.
Is like bird
that's
watching,
one thing.
But Swiss watching.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but also, you know, Google it. There are so many podcasts and blogs out there now. Things to do, you know, in XYZ, and you will find a million. You really, really will. And to me, to have the opportunity to be in one place for more than two or three nights is actually excellent because you can actually go to the local market. You can see what people are actually doing in their daily life.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to photograph that.
Oh, that'll be fun. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a great trip.
All right, let's do a couple of emails here. Gene Gagnon is our guest. We'll get back to the phone shortly at 800-348-2551. Our email is voxpop@wamc.org. Sammy writes in, oh, you'll love this. Subject heading, train versus plane. Sammy writes, for a trip where it's easy enough to drive, but quicker to use alternative transportation, do you think it's worth saving a few bucks to take the train or spend a little more on a plane ticket? And that's from Sammy.
Well, Sammy, it really depends upon the distance and the amount of time that that particular train takes. So, for example, from Albany to Montreal, I think that train takes like 7 or 8 hours.
Beautiful.
So, you know, some people say beautiful. Other people say I could drive there in 3 hours.
No.
So they would drive. If you're talking about going, for example, from London to Paris, because it's an international flight, if you were in London, you would have to take the time to get to the airport, probably at least an hour. You have to check in 3 hours ahead of time because it's an international flight. So now you're up to 4 hours. Plus, you have to take the flight. Plus, when you get to Paris, you have to get from the airport into the city.
Yeah.
Much better to take Eurostar. You know, just get on the train from downtown to downtown, 2.5 hours, two and a half,
yeah,
and you're there. So it really, really depends upon where you're going, how far it is, how good the train connections are, how easy it is to take the plane. You have to remember that if it's an international flight, you have to check in 3 hours ahead of time, and
okay,
the airport is not going to be downtown. So you always have to keep that in mind.
Okay, fair enough. All right, now this email from Steve. I'm going to Ireland with three couples that have rented an Irish landmark trust house in County Clare for a week in early September. I'm planning on going days. Hang on. You got to proofread, people. I'm planning on going days, two nights early, and will stay in a bed and breakfast in Salthill near Galway. I will fly into Shannon, rent a car, and drive to Salthill, and then go to County Clare.
Mm-hmm.
I plan to stay three nights after the house and wonder if I'm better off going to Cork or area or to Dublin. I might try to fly out of Dublin back to JFK. When's the best time to book that flight? And that is from Steve, who says he is 70 and in okay shape, will be traveling by himself.
Okay. My preference would be for you to fly into Dublin first.
Okay.
If you can,
yep,
you know, you might not be able to. And definitely do two or three nights there.
All right.
Because you're fresher, it's a city, so it's a little bit busier than some of the smaller towns and village in County Clare.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my preference. If you can't do that, then I would go there at the end and fly home out of Dublin. Absolutely. Galway is fabulous. It's a university town. Lots to do in the town. Lots to do outside the town. You can go up to the Abbey and see that. You can go to the Quiet Man Village, the Village of Cong. A lot to do in that area as well. And I think you can do all that. And if you're going to rent a car anyway, you'll have those options.
Yeah.
And if you do have a car, if you go to Dublin first, you'd want to not get the car yet until you were ready to leave Dublin and then stop in the Cork area on your way to the house.
All right. This email, remember we talked about the money exchange,
mm-hmm,
early in the show?
Mm-hmm.
Bill writes in, and the subject heading is Money in Buenos Aires. Regarding exchange in Argentina, I think this would be a partial exception. We were recently in Buenos Aires. It's fairly easy to exchange dollars for pesos. However, after we returned, we learned that if we had used Western Union instead of the exchange places and banks, we would have almost doubled the amount. As a matter of fact, I do recall lines a block long at Western Union places early every morning. It would have certainly been worth the wait.
Well, that's why you want to check it out ahead of time. You know, you do want to check out what is their exchange rate, what is the cost. Maybe the exchange rate is good, but maybe there was an additional cost on top of that.
Yeah.
So all of those things have to be researched. You can't, even if I say something, it can change.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it varies from country to country. So when I'm speaking about exchange rates, I'm speaking in generalities. Okay. Argentina is an exception because they're having some major difficulties down there economically.
Yep.
So something like that, I would definitely always double check. But the other thing you need to remember is you want to either use up or exchange your money back when you're there. You don't want to you don't want to come back. Like I tell people, either go on another trip if you've got euros left over or use them up when you're there, because to try to change those euros back into dollars when you're here, you'll lose money on
it. Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's go back to our phone lines. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Let's go to Westchester. Odette, you're on. Odette, where are you calling from in Westchester?
Carsdale.
Ah, beautiful. Well, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Hi. I love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm traveling to Scotland in mid-October for work. I'll only be there for 6 or 7 days, but I will have some time off every day. I'll be in Edinburgh, and I've always wanted to go to Scotland, and I'm curious of your recommendations.
Okay, well, first of all, while you're
what to make sure I see.
Right. Well, you want to see Edinburgh Castle, and you want to walk the Royal Mile. And actually, I would recommend taking at least an hour, maybe 2 hour walking tour, because they'll also tell you the history of it as you do it. If you're interested in castles and pretty little villages, you might also want to go to Stirling, which isn't too far. I'm trying to think of places that wouldn't be that far for you to go to. You could go to St. Andrews, and that one you could actually take a train to and just kind of walk around on your own. St. Andrews, as many people know, is the sort of the birthplace of golf.
Yep.
But it's also a very, very pretty village, very, very pretty. So I would do that. You can also go to an area of Edinburgh called Leith, L-E-I-T-H. It's the port area. Just to walk around and stuff, because it's kind of like hip. I don't know what to compare it to. I don't know if it's really like
Brooklyn.
Chelsea or the Village or the way Brooklyn's become now. You know, it's young and kind of happening.
Yeah.
So Leith would be a good thing to do. So you could do that even for dinner one night. And also, since if you're going to be by yourself, a lot of people aren't crazy about eating dinner by themselves. You could do a food walking tour. Again, I mentioned it earlier that they're a fun way to do dinner. You meet other people, you eat along the way. You know, it's fun.
Grab
you know,
a haggis, so. Walk along, you're fine.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
That's all right. Okay. What do you think, Odette?
Oh, great suggestions. And I actually love traveling by myself, so that's a
good
suggestion.
Good, I do too. Good for
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate hearing from lovely Scarsdale, New York. You know, this weekend I was watching this great, believe it or not, a show about how they make whiskey. And they had a section on Scotch whiskey, and it was fascinating. They had a guy from Laphroaig and how did you ever go to the distilleries over there?
I did not. My husband spent a month in Scotland several years ago, and he went to Isla and went to all the distilleries there and Arran and everything like that.
Yeah.
He's really into that.
All right, let's grab one more here before we wrap it with Jean Gagnon. Karen in Boston Spa. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I'm traveling with my husband to Italy the last week in June and then into July. We are going to be by ourselves for the first three nights, but then we're meeting up with our three adult children in Rome. And one of the biggest questions we're having now, because we're getting mixed opinions, is how to get from one place to the other. For example, my husband and I want to go down to Positano from Rome, and we have a hotel there for a couple nights, but we're wondering if it's okay to take the train to, like, Naples or Salerno, and then do we get a driver? I notice there's a ferry. Like, there's so many choices, and I just...
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
We only have about 45
seconds.
I've
got 45
seconds.
So, yes, you can take public transportation from Rome. You would take the train to Naples. In Naples, you would go downstairs and take another train to Sorrento, if that's the area you wanted to go in. If not, you would be met in Naples, get a car and driver, and have them drive you to Positano. That's the way I would get there.
Okay.
Once you were in Positano, you could definitely take the ferry to go visit either Capri or Amalfi or Minori. You know, you can do that once you get there. But getting there with luggage, I would be met at the Naples airport with a car and driver.
Beautiful. All right, we're going to have to leave it there, Karen. Thank you very much. Jean Gagnon, if people want to get in touch with you or find out anything about Plaza Travel, presumably you're online, and I know the answer because I have the link on our page. But
yes.
Why don't you just say it?
Okay. Plazatravel.net is our website. We are on Facebook, and you don't have to have a Facebook account to look at the pictures on Facebook. So I just want to make sure people know that. They can call me at 518-785-3338. They can email me at jean@plazatravel.net.
So you're a plaza person.
I'm a plaza
person. I say plaza. Because I'm undereducated.
But what do you say? How do you say A-U-N-T?
I say my aunt. My Aunt Ellen from
See,
Hawaii.
I say aunt. And a lot of people in my family say aunt.
So, all right. Well, we'll have that conversation
on
another exciting edition of Travel. Ooh, you can feel the tension. All right, Jean, thanks for being here. We'll talk
to you, Ray.
Next time. Support comes from the Holiday Cottage Gift Shop, located in the historic Hotel Putnam Building, Main Street, Bennington, Vermont, featuring seasonal home decor. 802-430-3272 for store hours. And California Closets, Albany, local showroom in Latham, working to create more storage space for clients in their closets, pantries, garages, and more. CaliforniaClosets.com. Once again, thanks to Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls, the emails, etc. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our, he's a little cranky at times, but he's a fine engineer. Thank you very much. Andrea Leone screened the calls. Thanks, Andrea. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's gardening.